May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You would turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. In verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now, last week, David talked to us about the sower, but he's a more seedy character than I am, so it's just... about just scattering the seed wildly. And today the image is much more of one who is carefully planting a harvest of wheat here. And the idea is that he has carefully planted his wheat with the idea that he's going to harvest it. But the enemy has come and sown weeds in among the wheat, okay? Now, there are weeds. I don't care what kind of garden you plant. There are going to be weeds. Weeds just are. They just happen. But this is an aggressive attack by an enemy on someone. And so I decided to look this up. I went Googling and... actually found out that this is something that happens in the Mideast, that particularly back in the late 1940s after Israel became a nation and they were setting up kibbutzim all over Israel, that when the kibbutz would be set up and they would start to plant the crops, the Palestinians would come in and they would actually plant weeds among the crops to discourage the settlers from staying there. And there's actually a weed that looks like wheat when it's full grown. Okay? And it's called a poisonous bearded darnel. I'm serious. The poisonous bearded darnel, when it's full grown, is about the same height as wheat, and it looks like wheat. But it's poisonous. Okay? And the rabbis have a term for it. They call it perverted wheat. Okay? But anyway, they would plant this stuff in the rows of the wheat. And if the landowner would see it early enough, they could go out and pull them up before they get established. All right? Now, poisonous darnel gets established, then they do let it grow up, and they let it grow with the wheat. But instead of harvesting the weeds first, as Jesus says in this parable, they would harvest the wheat, because if you pull up the darnel before you pull up the wheat, you pull up the wheat with it. Okay? And so they would harvest the wheat, and then they would come in. And they wouldn't pull the poisonous darnel up. They would just burn the whole field because they wanted to get rid of the poison that had taken over the field. All right. So everything that Jesus is saying about this in this parable is backwards. All right. Because Jesus says, no, let the weeds grow up with the wheat because you don't want to pull them up. Well, if you can catch it early, you get them up. And then he says, and you harvest, when harvest times come, pull up all the weeds and bundle them and burn them. That's not how they would do it. And so everything is backwards. Don't pull up the weeds. Let them grow together. Harvest the weeds first. This is not logical. It's just not logical. There's nothing logical about what Jesus has said here. How does this relate to... I mean, how can we make sense out of this? Well, first of all, as you look at the church, and since this is a parable, obviously Jesus is trying to make it applicable to his hearers, all right? And in the church, what we tend to do is we want to go in and pull the weeds out. All too often what churches do is they want to be a hotel for saints and not a hospital for sinners, right? Okay? And so we want to purify the body, so we're going to get rid of anybody and everybody who doesn't seem to belong here. And by the way, if we follow Jesus' directive in this parable in regards to the harvest time, go and pull up all the weeds first, Jesus says, and then you can harvest the wheat. Well, let me tell you something. If you follow that logically, there ain't no rapture. Because the weeds get taken up first. So, rapture theology has just been blown out the window by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? Which, I can give you about 15 or 20 others, but let's just skip on. Okay? Anyway, all of this said is that the way that the world sees logically to put all of this into practice, it's not God's way. There's God's way, and then there is our way. And our way, we try... What's that?
Logic.
That's right. And our logic inevitably, using our reason instead of God's way, inevitably gets us into trouble. Okay? Now, if we try and figure all this out for ourselves, we're going to kind of run into a buzzsaw, as it were. Tradition, you know, that's also another stumbling block for the church. We've never done it that way before. The seven deadly words. Or you can use the other one. We have always done it that way. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we've always done it that way and it just isn't right, too. That's always a possibility. But as you look at this, I was reminded of a couple of things. One was, back when we were over on Patton Avenue, when we first started on Patton Avenue over there, do you all remember, those of you who were there, do you remember Smokey Joe? Ah, Smokey Joe. Smokey Joe just showed up as we were putting the church together over there on Patton Avenue, and he lived in a lean-to behind the ice service store just up the road. He was homeless. He was a drunk. But, God, he was fun. He was a lot of fun. But we used to encourage Smokey Joe to come and worship with us. But there was one couple in the parish who really didn't care for Smokey Joe. And they always made Smokey Joe know that they didn't care for him. For example, you know how we usually hold hands when we say the Lord's Prayer. Well, they would never hold Smokey Joe's hand. And finally, I just confronted them about this. I said, you know, he's as welcome here as you are. Well, why is that? You know what kind of person he is. And I said, yeah. Are you saved? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, do you think Smokey Joe is saved? Well, no! And I said, so who needs the church more, you or him? They didn't like that. They were unhappy with me for some reason. But they wanted to pull the weed out. And Jesus says, no, let the weeds grow together with the wheat. You know, we want answers to our prayers. We want everything to be so logical and so orderly. And when we don't have answers to our prayers that kind of line up with what we think ought to happen, then it's God's fault. Not my fault. I prayed. He didn't answer. It's his fault. He's not listening to me. You know, we get that way. But, you know, that's not... There's God's way and there's our way. And God's way is always going to be better. We may not see it at the moment. We may not understand how it works. But God's way is a sure way. And then there are always all those questions. This is one question. I promise you, Jesus doesn't answer this question with any regularity. All right? Why Why did this happen? You know. I imagine there's a young man in the parish right now who's probably asking that question. Ethan, for those of you who don't know, had surgery on Friday. And it didn't go quite right. And they had to go back in a second time and do a second surgery on him to get his nose situation straightened out. And he wasn't happy about that.
What happened about the first one?
Yeah. He wasn't happy about the first one either. That's fair. You know, and I'm sure the question is running through his mind. Why? Why? You know, I prayed about this. Why? And I had the whole church praying for me. Why? You know, but it's, here's the key on that one. We don't ask why. We ask, what do you want me to do with this, Lord? What do you want me to do with this? I don't understand why this happened, but Lord, I trust that you're still in control. So what do you want me to do about it? How do you want me to respond to this very difficult situation I find myself in? And when we put ourselves in the hands of the Lord will take care of it. Yeah, I'm reminded in Isaiah chapter 55. If you want to go there with me, I welcome you to join me. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 8, the Lord says through Isaiah the prophet, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But all that comes with a promise, too, okay? You know, that just sounds kind of harsh if you just leave it right there. You know, well, it's going to be my way. It's sort of like, you know, the mother of the toddler. I'm the mother, that's why. You know, my way, not yours, you know? Okay, but there's a promise that comes with this. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God's word, yes, it's his word and it's his way. And if we will trust him, then his word will go forth and it will not return to him empty. It will accomplish what he purposes, and his purposes are always good. Are you with me? Is everybody kind of okay with this? All right. So what do we do about all this? And how do we handle this? Well, we heard a promise in the psalm for today, in Psalm 86. In Psalm 86, verse 11, the psalmist David cries out, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." This is a cry that all of us should be regularly making before God, because there are so many things in our lives that we simply don't understand. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way. And give me an undivided heart that I may desire your will for my life and for the things that are going on in and around my life. Teach me how to trust you. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 were really important for me. And just a number of years ago, when I was having a really difficult time and things were not quite going anywhere near the way I wanted them to go, and I just made that my mantra for, well, I still use it, quite frankly, all the time. "Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day long." Make me to know thy ways. Give me understanding of your ways. I don't have to understand what's going on, but make me understand your ways. Teach me your paths so that I know where to go and how to follow. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. And for you, I wait. And here, we heard that word earlier today. Wait for you. For you, I wait all the day long. Putting God first and trusting Him. Also in Psalm 25, a couple of verses after that, in verse 9, he says, He, that is God, guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. That humility is so important because we cry out, Oh Lord, teach me, show me, you know, and then we go, but here's what I want from you. I want you to make the path this way for me. I want to go along this route to get to the goal that you've set for me. You know, I've called you to be an accountant, okay? Well, I want to be an accountant, but I don't want to have to take any accounting classes in college. Now, how's that going to work out for you? You know, no. You know, God's way. You've got to do it His way. And then there's the aspect of humility where we recognize that, you know, even though we've been praying for this, we've been seeking the way of God, we've asked God to teach us, we are human. I know, that's a shock. Actually, priests are people. Do we get away with anything? Oh, Diane said no.
Well, I guess it's a no.
All right. You're going to fail. It's okay. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. And that's okay. Because God will forgive you. God has forgiven you, as we proclaim in the blessing at the end of the service. And in Psalm 32, which is one of the great penitential psalms, says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God will take care of you. He will show you His way. He also goes on the next line and says, but don't be like a horse or a mule. All right. So, you know, it's good. That's a promise. I love it. It's good. But how do we do all of that? What do you have that you can rely on? Well, brothers and sisters, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the encouragement if you turn to Him. The Holy Spirit will give you the guidance if you trust Him. The Holy Spirit will teach you if you will allow Him and you will listen to Him. And in Psalm 143, in verse 8, it says, Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, O Lord, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and may your good spirit lead me on level ground. The Holy Spirit is in us and working in us to lead us in right pathways for His name's sake. All right, so there's so much more. As I was looking at this and trying to figure out exactly what to focus on in terms of the teaching, allowing God, I could only find several dozen scriptures that went with this. And you'll be happy to know I'm done with all those, okay? But there's so much in terms of practical application of how we can put this into practice in our individual lives and as a parish. But I want to focus more just on the word that God has been speaking to us over these last few months, and that is about the going out. You know, God has called us and He is encouraging us to go out into the community. So how do we take this parable that Jesus has given us about the weeds among the wheat, and how do we put this into practice? Well, the first thing that Jesus says in that parable is don't pull up the weeds. When we're out there and we're in the world, it is so easy to have that judgmental spirit just come over us. You know, we see things that we know just don't seem to be quite right. It's not up to us to point out the darkness. It's up to us to be bearers of the light. You don't pull up the weeds. You don't point out the darkness. You don't put the judgment of God on somebody. And they may want to get into an argument with you. Well, just stop it. You know, it takes two to argue. Don't get in the argument. You know, okay, you don't agree with me. I understand. I'll press on to the next. That's the seed sowing that David was talking about. Just keep sowing the seed. Just keep going out there. Bringing the light to the community and shedding forth the light and not railing against the darkness, but bringing the love of Christ wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, in the marketplace, in the schools, at home, in the workplace. It doesn't matter. Be bearers of the light, not railers against the darkness. It's not our job. And then, you know, in regards to the harvest, we're walking through some difficult times as a parish. There are a lot of things that we cannot understand, and we want to rail out and say, why? Because it's so confusing. But being aware that God is a God of love and He knows what's best for us, we may not understand it at the time, and it may hurt, if you'll pardon the expression, hurt like hell. It's not from hell. It's from God. And we need to just stand in that firm promise. His ways are not our ways. And when you're praying, be bold. Ask God for the whole kingdom. Don't just, you know, all too often what we do is we kind of hedge our bets. You know, well, I've been praying and I haven't gotten answers to these prayers. And so, well, if it be thy will, God, would you please heal me? Lord, I'm hurting. I want to be healed. And when you're praying for somebody else, lay hands on them with every expectation that God is going to work healing in that individual. Pray in confidence. Confidence with faith in God. That's what that word literally means. Confidel. Confidence. Believing that God is going to do His work. Be bold and pray that we may learn His will in the midst of this. If it doesn't work, then, okay, God, what would you have me do? What can I learn from this? How can I move on from this? How can I grow from this? Are you with me? Is this clicking? Okay. So pray that we may learn His will and know His ways and leave the weeds for God to deal with. And when the harvest comes, know that God is going to do a mighty work in each one of us. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Lead me in thy paths. Amen.